This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Jay Horowitz with the latest edition of Amazing Mental Unlife Podcast. And my friend of almost 40 years, more than 40 years, it's kind of scary to say, Daryl Strawberry. So I can't believe we've known each other for 40 years.
40 years. Yeah, 40 good years, Jay. So
yeah.
It's been a good run for us, and we're still here.
Yeah, I remember the first time we met, you were, 18 or so, coming out of Crenshaw. I was a young kid coming out of college in 1980. And I think we met the first time in Dodger Stadium, wasn't it? After, I think you came out with your mom, maybe, after we had drafted you. That was a long time ago, huh?
Yeah, I came with my family to Dodger Stadium. I was number one pick, and I do remember that. And Joe Torre was the manager at the time, I believe.
Joe Torre was my first manager. he went out to bigger and better things after he left the Mets, I'll tell you that. You hooked up with him later on. Yeah, definitely ask you, you're coming out with a book in January, Turn Your Season Around. Did you ever think you would write and be a part of a book that really has really nothing to do with baseball? Correct me if I'm wrong. It's really not a baseball book, right?
No, it's not a baseball book. It's a book about faith, and I really never thought that I would be in the place that I am today and the man I am today. I'm grateful for who I am. But when I look back over it, I looked at, a guy like Gary Carter, who was very faithful and, walked his faith when we were playing, and a guy like Mookie Wilson, who lived in faith. And those are the people that you admire more than anything because you wonder why they were so different. And, me playing with those guys and just looking at their life and realizing that they were different, it was because of their faith. And I end up, becoming a new man after many years, after trials and tribulations in my life and successful playing baseball. I would come to a place of being a preacher of the gospel, evangelist, and traveling the country 250 times out of the year, helping people.
Yeah, Daryl, what's the main message of the book? Is there one or two main points you want to let the people know what the book is about?
Well, the book is really about how God transforms your life, how he transformed my life from, who I was in the natural into the supernatural kind of person and to be able to do what I'm doing. And, I'm not qualified to be, a preacher to stand in a pulpit and preach in front of thousands of people, which I do. But God qualifies the call, after you transform your life, after you go through some real long, hard seasons with him, And I think a lot of people don't realize what really happened, to me. It was a 7 year of sitting and growing, just like I was in baseball, being a young player and had to develop. It was the same way in my faith. And, the main point in this book is to help people understand that a relationship with God is he never forgets about you. People may forget about you, but he never forgets about you.
Daryl, I know for the last 10, probably decade more, you and your wife, Tracy, have been traveling ministers. How did you get into that? I mean, I know you have a church in St. Louis, you have a church in Orlando. How did you get into being a traveling minister?
Well, actually, we got involved in ministry for the last 17 years, 18 years, so we had been in ministry together, and we just started growing in a different way. And then, we felt the call, to be far greater than we could ever imagine. And my wife has been pastors at every church, local church that we went to and lived in the city, like St. Louis, Orlando. She's been a local pastor. And I've been more of a traveling pastor that I go to a lot of large events and, preach in front of, 5 to 10,000 people. And we got into it because we felt the call of God in our life, and we just felt like, as a couple, it was a time for us to be able to do it, to help so many people and encourage people, I think, more than anything, to that faith is real and that you can live a different life. And it's a real decision that you have to make. It's not one of those overnight decisions. It's a process, and we let people know that, you know, so many people in our society are like so broken and so hurting, and, you know, they need someone who has, you know, been somewhere that be able to tell them that, you know, their life could be different. And me and my wife, we really enjoy doing that a lot.
I remember on the 40th anniversary of the Mets team, I actually interviewed you, but you really found the will and the fortitude to, you know, to really battle back where, you know, other people might not have battled back. You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, the years where you struggled, and, you know, but you found a way to get back.
Oh yeah. I mean, struggles are really a part of life, you know, because we all, you know, we all fall short, you know, we all sinners. So we're going to fall short in this lifetime. And, you know, it just becomes to who you become, you know, like I said, Carter and Wilson, they were prime examples to all of us on that ball club, you know, that you can live a different life, you know, and he lived it in faith, you know, and that was an example. And I saw that, and like I said before, I really admired that, and I wanted that. And it takes work to get to that place. No matter what kind of struggles you have had, you can overcome your struggles if you just trust God and walk and have some faith and believe and kind of walk it out. And that's what my life has been. My life has been totally different from, you know, the baseball years, the struggles, and to the man I am today. And the platform that I have today is far greater than any baseball platform I've had or anything that everybody else achieved, even the struggles. You know, the platform of doing what I'm doing today is being an overcomer, you know, by the blood of the Lamb because of believing and following the principles. And, you know, it's just about changing your mindset more than anything. And I think that's what happened to me. I just kind of changed everything about who I was and went in a different direction.
There was a point in your struggles that you sort of given up. I mean, not like a better word. You thought, hey, how am I going to get out of this hole? I mean, was there one really low point when you think back?
It was a lot of low points, Jay. And, you know, a lot of low points when I was in the midst of my addiction prison, when I had cancer twice and lost my left kidney. The drug addiction, like I said before. But, you know, one thing I do remember is my mother raised me right. And I think that's really what brought me all the way back to becoming right, because she didn't raise me to be the heathen I was and the womanizer and the alcoholic and drug addict I was. She raised me as the right person. And I remember her principles, and I remember her praying for me. And I think that really brought me back. And then my wife, Tracy, who came into my life when everybody else said, he'll be dead, he's nothing. You know, she comes, God sends her into my life, and she helps me, and she helps me get back, and she helps me get back into my faith, and she helps me become the man that God created me to be. And that's why we live such a great, abundant life together, and that's why we do ministry together, and we love people. It's because of a couple that comes together and worships together, stays together.
Yeah, just so people should know, you know, you haven't, you know, you're talking the walk. I mean, you've been sober now for 20 years, so this is not something that is something happened in a year. You've been doing this for a long period of time. Knock on wood, you stayed away from the drinking for 20 years, and it's really like something to be proud of, like you said, how you've gone in a different direction with a lot of people's help.
Yeah, I mean, it's over 18 years now, not 20 yet. My wife's over 21 years in recovery, and I'm over 18 years of not being around that lifestyle and being involved in it. I just kind of moved in a totally different direction and separated myself, you know, from that. I think so many people stay in that place because they can never take the uniform off. I was able to take the uniform off, you know. I played for the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, and Giants, but if guys never take the uniform off, you're still the same person. And I wanted to be a different person, so I took the baseball uniform off and kind of hung that up, and I became this new person. And, you know, I identified myself in Christ, not in baseball. And I identified myself in my faith, and I identified myself to dedicate myself to helping others. So you have to be able to have something to go forward. And I think a lot of guys never have anything to go forward. I just realized that I want to go forward.
Darryl, is it hard to, you know, with all your success as a player, it's been hard the last couple of years to divorce yourself from baseball? I mean, not to sit on TV, watch a game, or go to games. Is that been hard to separate yourself from that?
No, it really hasn't. It hasn't really been hard. Ever since I got into ministry, you know, I just became a different person. I mean, I will always love the game of baseball. I will always love the Mets, and hopefully they can, you know, get it together, you know, with the direction they headed in with a new ownership and stuff like that. It's about time for them to, you know, have some fun. So, because we had fun, I will always remember the fun days of baseball. You know, I will always be a baseball player, but at the same time, I separated myself and I became a man of faith and a man of on a mission to really help souls. I just feel like that I was called like Billy Graham was. If a lot of people don't know who Billy Graham is, he's an evangelist that, you know, preached the gospel all over the place, and he was probably the greatest winners of souls. And I just see myself as that person today, you know, that I've been called for this mission and to travel and to go to different places, different churches, and help people and minister to them and win souls.
Like Darryl, like you mentioned, you're on the road, you know, over 200 days a year. I, you know, it picked up since you've been able to travel after the pandemic has eased up a little bit. You speak, one of your main things you speak on is the evil of opioids. I mean, you speak to kids, and you just tell them really basically, don't do what I did. I mean, is that part of your message?
I go into schools, you know, I go into a lot of schools for free and try to educate the kids on the danger of vaping, drugs. Don't ever start on it because it's hard to get out of this cycle. And I just really, I feel like kids today are very vulnerable to all these different things, to try everything. For whatever reasons, I've seen so many of them at a young age from, you know, 19 to 25, and then they're all losing their life. I didn't lose my life to addiction. I got clean and was able to move forward and able to give back. But some of the youth today are not making it past that age. Because they get so addicted to it, and they don't understand how powerful it is. They don't understand how controlling it is. It controls their entire life, and it separates them from themselves and leave them broken. And when they get to the place they're so far broken, you know, they end up dying, most of them today. So, you know, my heart and passion is for young people to try to lead them to, you know, some real biblical principles so they can find who they are and have a foundation for themselves so they can not get into the darkness of using drugs.
Darryl, how, you know, when we were together, you were a great interview. The writers always liked to talk to you because you always spoke your mind. You were honest. But how did you get to the point where you were able to, you know, I know you didn't have training for this. How did you get to the point you were able to get up in front of a church and speak to, you know, like thousands of people and travel around the country? I mean, how did you prepare yourself to do that? Was you self-taught, or did you model yourself after anybody?
No, I mean, it was a lot of time, spending a lot of time, you know, with God in the Word and meditating on the Word and kind of saturating myself in it. And it just developed inside of me. And I just started just being able to do it supernatural, you know, being able to stand on the platform and, you know, convey to the people what I study. And I think it's something that I learned over a period of time and still learning. And I've gotten better at it. There's no fear because I'm not really doing the talking. The talking is just coming through me, you know, from the Spirit of God, you know, and I just allow myself to be free inside to be able to do the work that He's called me to do at this point.
Does it help you to think when you go travel around the country that even though you played, you know, before the turn of, you know, in the 90s, that people know who you are, they know what you, you know, you did have a great career, and probably everybody in Utah, Montana, or Georgia knows who Darryl Silver is. Do you think that helped you a little bit?
Why? No question about it. The platform of playing Major League Baseball and playing in New York and my career with the, you know, Mets, you know, the start of my career, it's probably the most significant part of who I am, because that's who I was at that time at the age of 21 and all those years and going and playing Major League Baseball all those years and accomplishing all the things that I did. But also at the same time, that was, you know, like I said, that was a great setup for the platform that I have today, because the platform I have today is far greater, you know, it's no comparison to, not trying to compare them, but it's no comparison to, you know, what I'm doing today and compared to what I was doing when I was an athlete, you know, playing baseball.
Yeah, okay, bring it back to baseball. Second, you mentioned our new owner, Steve Cohn. Yeah, he was a gigantic Mets fan. He once he came to the Polo Grounds, he, one of his favorite memories is the Mookie Wilson go through Buckner's legs. One of the things he wants to get going in the near future is an old-timers' day game. You think to try and, you know, bring some of the guys back. What do you think about getting the uniform one time in it? Your schedule mentioned in the near future.
Well, I'm really excited about this new owner, Steve Korn, and all that he brings to New York and all he brings for the Mets fans. It should be for a very long time, you know, like it was in the 80s where we were consistently winning and we were always in the battle for getting into the playoffs. Yeah, of course, we should have won more. There's no question. But if they had the wild card, we would have been in every year. So it would have been a whole different thing. So, yeah, the history of bringing back what the history players is so important. You know, it would be exciting to see that happen and exciting to see the fans be able to be excited about the history of the Mets.
Yeah, Darryl, in conclusion, I've been with the Mets 40 years, been here a long time, and I've seen players come up, and I don't remember any player coming up with more pressure than you did. Number one pick, Bach Ted Williams on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And when you joined the Mets in 83, it was before Keith and, you know, and all the guys started joining. You really just, you know, you did great. Your life turned around, your life and helping people around the country. So you got to be proud of where things turned out for you.
Well, I just think my mother is probably looking down and she's proud of me. And that's what's important to me. I know she raised me right, like I said before, and I just all I didn't listen to her. I wish I would have listened to her. We all say that, but I'm just happy that she get a chance and opportunity to see me turn my life around and become everything that she wished that I would become.
Well, down to the book, Turn Your Season Around, comes out in January. Well, baseball fans and Mets fans can get a pickup, and, you know, a different side of Darryl Swarbrick you might not know. And Darryl, I just appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be speaking soon. Be safe and good luck.
All right, Jay, I appreciate it. January 12th, Turn Your Season's coming out. Okay. You can go to Amazon.com.
Look forward to it.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.